Welcome to Mosaic Church Provo. To learn more about us or to support our mission, visit us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
And we're at the end of summer here. We've got a full room this morning, which is encouraging to see. We welcome you here. If this is your first time, my name's Alan. I'm one of the pastors here. And if this is your first time here, you're coming at a good time because we are closing out our summer in the Psalm series. And next Sunday, we're going to pick up in the book of Hebrews. But this morning, we're closing out our summer in the Psalm series with Psalm chapter 27. Here at Mosaic, every summer, we pick up in our continuous summer in the Psalms series. We'll close this summer with Psalm chapter 27, and then we will pick up next summer with Psalm 28, and the hope is within 10 years, 15 years, give or take a couple of years, we will have walked all the way through the book of Psalms throughout our summers here at Mosaic. As I just mentioned, and as Pastor Ben announced during our announcements, next Sunday we are starting a new sermon series where we will walk through the book of Hebrews together. This has been a long time coming. We as pastors have been excited about this new sermon series for quite a while as we walk through Hebrews together, and we will walk through that book as we always do here at Mosaic, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. So join us next week for that, and we will be in Hebrews for a good long while. With that being said, open up your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. We preach the Bible here at Mosaic. Everything that we do on Sunday morning is straight from God's Word, so we encourage you to have your Bible open or open up your Bible on the device or your phone or whatever you have available for you so we can have the text in front of us together this morning. Psalm chapter 27, starting at verse 1, it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army surround me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord." Let's pray. God, we praise You this morning. Just as we sang a moment ago, Lord, it's Your breath that we praise you with. God, in this room, I pray that you would be high and lifted up this morning, the central focus of all that we say and do here. God, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. It's authoritative, Lord, and we confess now that we need you to speak to us through your word this morning. Or for those in this room who are encouraged, would you encourage them? God, for those of us that need to be convicted by your Spirit, would you do that this morning as we walk through your word together? We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Amen. As we close out our series for the summer, walking through the Psalms with Psalm 27, we do so with a psalm that leads us to a challenge of finding refuge. A challenge of finding refuge. It's a challenge because all too often we're tempted to find our refuge and our strength in life from either something or someone rather than finding our refuge and hope in the Lord. As we walk through Psalm 27, because of its length, I'm not going to preach on every one of the 14 verses within the psalm, though I would love to do that. We just don't have time for that this morning. My overall hope, though, as we walk through some of these verses within Psalm 27, is that you would be challenged to know that refuge and deliverance is found only in the Lord. If you're a believer in the room, you've been walking with the Lord for a while, and somebody says to you, the Lord is your refuge and the Lord is your deliverer and your only hope, many of us would just say, yeah, He is. But it's a challenge because all too often in life we're tempted to find our refuge and our hope in other things rather than finding it in the Lord. David wrote this song, the king of Israel, the psalmist of Israel. He says in verse 1, starting out in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We're going to hang out in verse 1 for just a little bit because much of this psalm, really the entire psalm, is summed up in verse 1. I want you to think of this psalm as a representation of your life, as it was in the life of David. You have in between verse 1 and verses 13 and 14 as the psalm ends, within the body of this psalm, within those verses, are the ebbs and the flows, the ups and downs, and the struggles of life. And David begins this psalm with confessing and proclaiming that the Lord is his light and his salvation. Because the Lord is his light and salvation, he then questions what he should be fearful of. What then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? He confesses within that same verse that the Lord is the stronghold of his life. And as a result of that, as a result of the Lord being the stronghold of his life, who then shall he be afraid of? If you read about the life of David and King David, you know that he lived a life of struggle. You know that he was a warrior, strong in battle. David was once a lowly shepherd boy, but now he's the king of Israel, and he's one who led in battle. He's the same one as that lowly shepherd boy who slayed the Philistine giant Goliath, and he knew a life of opposition, and he knew a life of struggle. David had much to be fearful of. He had much to be afraid of. Yet at this time in his life, his eyes and his heart are fixed upon the Lord. The Lord is his stronghold. Still in verse 1, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? The one who the psalmist finds security in and safety in is the Lord. He's seen the faithfulness of God in his life. And despite his sin, he's seen the Lord's deliverance in battle. And here in Psalm 27, he declares that the Lord is his light and his salvation, and because of this, he has nothing to fear. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom then shall I be afraid of? In present day, think of our culture today. It's no secret that fear, it's central. It's centralized in our culture. Fear, the concept of fear and instilling fear in an individual, it's a powerful and a controlling tool. If you want to control somebody or if you want to manipulate somebody, all you have to do is instill a sense of fear in that individual. In fact, some might not admit it, but they enjoy having a sense of fear instilled within them. They enjoy it, meaning that they enjoy the adrenaline that comes along with being afraid of something. You're pumped up, you're full of adrenaline, you're fearful, and some of you might enjoy that feeling. If we're honest, every one of us here, I know in a room this size, every one of us here has something that we fear. Maybe you fear loss. You fear losing somebody that's close to you. Maybe you fear losing your job. Or you fear losing financial security. Or maybe some of you are afraid of losing out on an opportunity. If we're not careful, we can become plagued by fear. No matter how big or small that fear might be. Every one of us has something that we fear. Maybe it's a big fear, maybe it's a small fear. But each one of us has something that we fear, and if we're not careful, we become plagued by that fear. And when we become plagued by that fear, we lose out on a lifestyle of rest. We lose out on a lifestyle of rest, a rest that only the Lord can fulfill. Some of you here this morning, you might be afraid and you don't even know what it is you're afraid of. You're just living in this fear, this sense of fear. You don't really know what it is. You can't pinpoint what you're fearful of, but you know that you're afraid of something. My prayer is that you would leave here today with a sense of rest, with a sense of rest, knowing that, as the psalmist penned, knowing that the Lord is your light and your salvation. What then should you be fearful of? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'll say that again, one of my favorite verses. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he's teaching on worry, and he instructs his listeners, those gathered around him as he's giving this sermon, he's teaching on worry. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" You go down a few verses from there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. He continues to teach, and he says this, "But seek first his kingdom." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Jesus is talking about the daily necessities of life, and he says, "But seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." In other words, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. He will sustain you. Verse 34, Matthew 6, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Many of you, before even having walked in that door, myself included, we've all probably worried about tomorrow. We've worried, well, how is tomorrow going to play out? How's next week, next month, next year going to play out? At the end of that, in Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus says, each day has enough trouble of its own. When we live in a state of fear that then leads to worry, we disobey Jesus. Many times we don't think of worry as being a sin. But Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Do not worry. Don't be fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And when we worry and we begin to fear, we disobey the words of Jesus, the one who came to give us light, salvation, and rest. The Lord is the stronghold. Back to Psalm 27. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. The Lord is, to define that, the Lord is a safe place. There's security in the Lord. It's a place of feeling secure, and many times for us, it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. To that, you must answer this question, and that is, who or what is your stronghold? Who or what is your stronghold? Who or what is your secure place, your place of safety and your place of refuge? Is it the Lord? Is it a relationship? Is it someone other than the Lord? Where's your place of security and rest? God, through the prophet Isaiah, tells Israel in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. You might know this verse well. He says in Isaiah 41, 10, so do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Israel, in a place of chaos and sin, not knowing what's coming next, God says, do not fear, because I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't live your life in this place of chaos, being dismayed. He says, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. We can rejoice in that this morning, that the Lord is our strength, that the Lord is our light and our salvation, and that He upholds us with His righteous right hand. It's when we realize that the Lord is our light and our salvation that our fear tends to diminish. And it's at that moment, at that time, when we realize that the Lord is our stronghold. When our eyes are fixed on Jesus, it's at that moment that we no longer begin to fear, that the Lord becomes our stronghold, our safe place, our secure dwelling. Because we do live in a fearful culture. Our world, if it's not afraid of one thing, it's afraid of another thing. For us as believers, the Lord is our light and our salvation. What then or who then shall we be afraid of? Because we're part of a greater kingdom. What then shall we fear? Verse 1 still of Psalm 27. I know we're jumping around the verse 1 quite a bit. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. If you've been born again, meaning that you are in Christ, you are in the light of the world. I'm going to say, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Lord is my light. Jesus, the Lord in flesh, is the light of our salvation. He illuminates our darkened hearts and brings us to new life in Christ. He's the light of our salvation. John chapter 1. The first five verses, this is too good not to read the first five verses of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and don't miss this, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This same God speaking life and light into being out of nothing, who is Himself light from light, is the only one that salvation is found in. If He's your light and He's your salvation, what then shall we fear? What then shall we be afraid of? Verse 4 of Psalm 27. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing, one petition that the psalmist has, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And verses 2 and 3, right before he writes that in verse 4, he reassures himself that when the wicked come against him, when the wicked pursue him, that his confidence is in the Lord. And then he lists his greatest desire in verse 4, to be near to God. To dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, the psalmist desires to be in fellowship with the Lord, to live in nearness to the Lord. Usually when we struggle, when we live the struggles of verses 2 and 3, when the wicked come against us, when an army surrounds us, the last thing that we desire is to fellowship with the Lord, or to be near to the Lord. Our petition is for Him to fix the situation, not for us to learn to seek Him in the midst of the battle. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Your seeking of the Lord must be genuine. Must be genuine. And as David is writing this in verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's writing in terms of the temple. The temple in David's day was a visible expression of the Lord's presence, a visible expression, something that he could see, and it represented the Lord's presence. His desire was to be near or to be in the temple, because within that temple was the presence of God, and his desire was to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord's presence. There was something beautiful about the temple, and it wasn't merely just the architecture of the temple or the tabernacle, but it was the presence of the Lord that made it beautiful to him. But today, this side of the cross, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and you've found your only hope in him, and you've been made perfect by his perfect work alone, meaning that you are covered in his righteousness, you've been forgiven of your sin, your righteousness comes from Christ and Christ alone, you have the presence of him living within you. You have his presence living within you. You are the temple which the Spirit of the Lord dwells. Listen, the moment that you get saved, the moment that you place your trust in Christ and in Christ alone, you are filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit lives within you, you can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in his presence every morning, and every night, and every hour in between, because his Holy Spirit dwells within each of those who have been saved, who have been redeemed. The presence of God, this side of the cross, is no longer restricted to an inner room within an ancient temple because of the cross. We read that when Jesus died, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." At that moment, the veil was torn in two. The veil that separated the presence of God from his people was torn in two, because it has been finished. We are righteous in Christ. Christ has done the work on our behalf. Now, all there is left to do is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And you can do that every morning, every evening, and every hour in between. Don't neglect to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him, and to seek him by reading his word. Verse 5, "For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." In the day of trouble, which there are many days of trouble, the days of trouble are many for us, he keeps us safe. He keeps us secure. We're hidden. We're kept in him, held by his sovereign and glorious hand. We're set high upon a rock. And that rock, that firm foundation, is Christ, the one that we find refuge in. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians that we're seated with Christ. For in the day of trouble, he will set me high upon a rock. We are seated with Christ. And because of that, the only proper response to this kind of protection and faithfulness is an expression of confidence in the Lord and heartfelt worship of the Lord. Verse 11. I know there's a lot within this psalm we could spend. We could spend a lot of time in Psalm 27, but verse 11, "Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me your way. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Your times of fear, your times of uncertainty in life, don't neglect to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, but also don't neglect to live in submission to Him and learn His ways as He leads you and teaches you. Because all too often through life, in those struggles of life, and you know, verse 2 through verse 12 of this psalm, the ebbs and flows, the struggles of life, we don't pray this. We don't pray, teach me your way, Lord. We say, Lord, get me out of this. Don't teach me your way. But the psalmist says, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. And then he closes this psalm with verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I remain confident of this. I'll see the goodness of the Lord. Are you confident in Him? Ask yourself, am I confident in the Lord? Are you confident in Him? In other words, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him to handle it, to take care of it? Because the Lord is our light and our salvation. Back to verse 1. Because the Lord is our light and our salvation, we can be confident that we will see the goodness of the Lord. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I realize there's many people in this room, and many people mean there's many different seasons of life represented in here this morning. For some of you, life is going well. Life is good. And for others, life isn't the greatest right now. And if you're in a season of life like that, you're in a season of life where you really don't see the goodness of the Lord, remain confident. Remain confident. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Know that you will see the goodness of the Lord. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week, but if you're in Him, if you're walking with Him, and He's your only hope, you will see the goodness and you will see the majesty of the Lord. As you wait on the Lord, be reminded of His goodness and His faithfulness directed towards you in Christ. Be reminded of His goodness and His faithfulness. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Not with your own strength, but with the Lord's strength. He strengthens us. He upholds us. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David writes twice in verse 14, wait for the Lord. Wait for Him in confidence. Being confident, you'll see the goodness of the Lord. You'll see His goodness and His faithfulness. And if not this side of eternity, on that day when we stand before the Lord, we will see His goodness and His faithfulness and His majesty and His power. When you can't seem to think of anything to thank Him for in life, praise Him and thank Him that He's your light and your salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then or what then shall we be afraid of? When you're overwhelmed, and I know many of you are, when you're overwhelmed, when you're faced with fear, meditate and pray the words of Psalm chapter 61, verse 2. From the ends of the earth I call to You. I call as my heart grows faint. Some of us are there this morning. My heart grows faint. You're weak. You're weary. From the ends of the earth I call to You as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the solid rock that is higher than I, the Lord. Why? Because the rock won't move. The rock won't move, and His word is strong. Stand upon Christ, the solid rock, the rock that won't move. Christ, your light and your salvation. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You are all that we need. God, if You didn't give us anything else, Lord, You've given us enough in Christ. Lord, that is who we praise this morning. That's who we glorify this morning. Our light and our salvation. God, for any in this room that may not know the Lord as their light and their salvation, Lord, would You save them this morning? Would You bring them to the solid rock of Christ, the rock that won't ever move? Lord, we thank You that You're faithful to us. Thank You that You're good to us. That You love us in spite of us. Because of that, Lord, we praise You. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen.